Hey, I know it's already been a full service, but man, I got to preach the Word of God, if that's okay with you. I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles. Where are we? We're not in Corinthians. Yes, we got to go over here. No, we are in Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and so we'll land there. So it's really close to where we're doing communion. And as you can tell, I've been reading through Corinthians and just really spending some time there. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, this one verse just jumped off the page to me. And it says, "Brother, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults." And so I was just really thinking about that. Almi and I have the privilege and the blessing so often throughout these years is that sometimes people invite us into their homes. They say, "Would you come and just bless our home?" Or maybe they got a brand new home or a business. They'll say, "Hey, why don't you come and just bless the business and pray over it?" And so sometimes I'll think about when I'm there, I'm thinking, it feels maybe heavy or dark, so I'm just going to pray against darkness or pray against evil spirits. But more often, I'm just inviting the Holy Spirit. I'm just inviting a blessing upon the house. So I'm not going to focus on evil, like, "Oh, please, in Jesus' name, we're going to, like, you know, sprinkle blood and, you know, oil, splash oil all over the place and just want to make sure it's safe." I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to focus on the enemy. It says so clearly here, be like in regards to infants, but about Jesus, about the Lord, be adults, be mature and growing in our spirit. And so let me look at a couple verses that are going to speak into that, and then I'll just kind of make a point here. So in Romans chapter 16, we'll go back just a couple pages here. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, "I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you've learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus, but their own appetites by smooth talk and flattery that deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise, be adults, be mature about what is good, and really innocent about what's evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet." Armageddon, the end times. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Again, God is saying, you know, be wise about this. Be wise in your decisions. And don't spend so much time or worry so much. Hey, there is evil. There is darkness. We can all turn our TV on. I understand that lane. But if our focus is there, then our thinking will be there as well. And I want my focus and my thinking to be on his glorious light. I want my thinking to be on his praises, and he's so wonderful, and I love him, and he gives me joy and peace. That's where I want to spend the majority of my time. I had just a season this last week where there's just so much coming, and the phone just kept ringing, things just kept happening and breaking, and all this stuff was on my plate. I just was like, okay, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm joking, but I was like, okay, that's a lot, Lord. And so I had to just kind of pause and say, I've got to rethink what I'm doing here. Praise God that these calls, now I wasn't praising God that things were breaking, but anyways, you know what I'm saying? Like these are things that we're going to face in life, and there'll be seasons where it's good seasons and there's difficult seasons, but don't stay stuck in those difficult seasons. As we read a momentary, it's momentary. It's going to pass by, and then you're going to have the joy and the peace again that God wants to give you, the light that lives inside of us. And so God lives inside of us. And then he does something with us. Let's just have some fun here in Luke chapter 10. So once we get saved, we're full of the light. God's poured into us. He's poured into, as we're going to jump into this story, his disciples. His disciples are just kicking with Jesus. It's a good thing. They're learning lots. And then Jesus says, you got to go. You got to go out. And so in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to go out, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among darkness, among evil, among wickedness, among wolves. But don't take a purse or bag or sandals or anything you want on your feet.'" And I love this idea that Jesus is saying, hey, there's wolves out there. We should probably just stay in the camp. We should probably just, you know, hang out with each other, have some, you know, nice meals together. Don't go out there where there's evil. Oh, don't do that. And Jesus is saying, absolutely, get out. Like, you got to go. You were children. I fed you. Now you're an adult. Now, as we all parents, don't look at your child right now and say, you actually need to go now. You need to go face the real world. But God is saying that you've got everything you need. Don't even worry. Think about the things he's teaching him here. They're saying, just go out. Don't even bring any food, any money, any supplies. I will take care of everything. It's all in, we would say like, it's pretty dark out there. I don't know if people are going to accept the truth. I don't know if they'll accept the gospel. And we see so clearly here, the harvest is ready. It's plentiful. How many people are harvesting in their yards? Oh my gosh, the pears this year are lights out. I don't know why. It just happens to be a pear season or something. But there is like the trees are like, the branches are about to break off. There's so much. Can I just say I don't need any more? I just want to clarify that. I'm not saying that because I want more. I'm just saying like, because there's lots out there. We can enjoy them. The harvest is plentiful. It's plentiful all the time. It's not just a seasonal thing. Oh, it's harvest time this time for people. And it's about to get cold in winter. Oh, no, don't go after people. Don't talk about, you know. It's always plentiful. And Jesus sends us out because we've got the light. We've got the gospel inside of. And so God wants to send us out. So as they go out, when they come back, listen to the report. Because, they went out among the wolves. And I don't know, you're thinking like, scary time. Let's listen to how they responded. So Luke, we're still in Luke 10. Go down to verse 17. The 72 returned with honking joy for crying out loud. Not sadness and we were getting beaten up. No, they were full of joy. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, Jesus replied. This is what Jesus has seen. I saw Satan like lightning kind of fall from heaven. And I've given you authority to trample on him, snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing in Jesus' name will harm you because you have authority. Verse 20, however, this is so important. So again, don't focus on the evil. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have an eternal destination. Wow, isn't that wonderful news? We don't go around and be like, oh yeah, last week, you know, me and the devil went toe-to-toe and I tapped him out, you know, it was awesome. I went 5 rounds with him. Look at my black eye. Like, we don't talk like that. We say, hey man, we went out, we spread the gospel and somebody got saved. Somebody got healed. Somebody went from darkness to joy. Somebody had darkness and they got the light inside of them. Somebody got saved. Somebody said, yes, praise God. That's what we focus on, right? I love that idea that our names are written. There is an eternal destination. And listen how deep it goes. Man, this is just unbelievable. Verse 21. At this time, Jesus, like one of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. We need that light inside of us. Said, I praise you, Father. And so I love this clarification. So Jesus is not, people aren't thinking like it's Jesus' dad. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. We got the right one here. Because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to us like little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good, good pleasure. It was your purpose that we would know Jesus. We would have an eternal destination. We'd be full of his presence. And we wouldn't worry about the enemy. Yeah, he's real. Yes, we're going to crush him. Yes, Jesus is going to, you know, lock him away forever and ever. And so, but we've got the light of the world inside of us, the light of God inside of us. Wow, that's just brilliant news. Hey, we're going to look at Hebrews here just for a moment and think about just kind of going out with this knowledge. And Hebrews, you know, it's maybe, it might be a little bit challenging to hear, but just kind of bear with me for a second. So Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11. So as we're growing, we're wanting solid food. It says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're so slow to learn. I am not saying that over you. I just want to clarify. This is the writer. We're learning together. We're all learning. Verse 12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, I want to unpack that just in a second, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's what we're talking about today. And so when we see this, solid food is for the mature, and by constant use, and so we see that so clearly, by constant, I want to use the word doing or doers, as we put it into practice, what we're learning, then we can easily distinguish between good and evil. We don't have to worry about it. It's like, oh, I got to spend all this time and understand, you know, what's bad and all these evil things. If we just look to God and his word, he will make it very, very clear to us what's good. Because, you know, you'd often say, like, is this okay to have in my life? Or, you know, you don't need Pastor Ben and I to come to your door like every second. Okay, I've heard that you've been doing, you know, whatever it happens to be, and you need to stop. Like, when you grow and mature in Jesus, you will naturally want to weed out those kind of things in your life. You say, that is not good for me. That is full of darkness and full of evil. I know what is good for me. I can see the light. It's very clear to me. So that's how we grow together. So as we do that as individuals, and then as we do that as a body of believers, here we go, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back a couple books again. I'm jumping all over, but it's the word of God, and we're having some fun here together. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says this. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. This is how we understand good. We become humble. Oh, Jesus, be patient. gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And we need to hear that because, you know, two sinners, a church full of sinners, we get together, like, we've got to have love for each other. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who through all and in all. So as we come together, we've got to have that light, that love for one another that's inside of us. Because if we've got darkness and evil inside of us, you know this as much as I know. I'm going to tick you off at some point. I'm going to offend you at some point. If I haven't already this morning, you know, just give me some time. I promise you. So we got to have love for each other. We've got to have, you know, understanding and patience and humbleness for each other so that the body can be unified. Because when we are unified, there's some wonderful things that happen. And so let's look at being unified here together. And so we'll kind of keep going here. So it's Ephesians 4. I'm just going to move down to verse 14. Then you will no longer be infants. This is why it's so important for us. Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and cunningness and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth. So we've been talking about this morning in love. We will in all things, we will grow up in him, the head that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I just want to think about that for a second. As we grow up together and we learn and we kind of support each other, the reason why you don't have every spiritual gift is because we need each other. As wonderful as that is, isn't that great news? Because we're not supposed to be self-isolated. We're not supposed to be alone by ourselves and think, well, I've got a relationship with God and I've got it. I've got everything I need. You actually don't. We actually need each other. It's so biblical, it's so scriptural that when we're unified together in our thinking and our humbleness and our patience and our love for God, that's actually how we're designed to be. God wants you to be a part of that body. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? We always say in scripture, we see it, you know, we don't need two legs and two eyes and two ears. It'd be a weird kind of body. But we're together. Man, that's just a deep thought. I just love sitting on that idea just for a second. Okay, let's just finish this thing off and then I'll get you to stand in a moment. We're going to read some scriptures together. So in 1 Peter, let's kind of move forward a little bit here in our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2. So once we became believers, we started growing together. We started, you know, working together. So in 1 Peter 1, it says, therefore, love therefore. So it's just kind of giving a bit of a recap there. Rid yourself of all of these things. This is all like the negative side, the evil side, the dark side, malice, dissent, hypocrisy, envy, every kind of slander. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tested that the Lord is good. I want to be really careful here because I got to make sure I understand, you understand what I'm saying, that we grow up in our salvation. Okay, so we get saved one day. Holy Spirit comes in. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're full of light. We know good from evil. Yes, yes, yes. Salvation is, yeah, it's a one-time thing. It's not like, oh, we got to get saved again. You know, okay, if you have sin, you better get saved again. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not about like, I have to work my salvation out. Like, I've got saved, but if I don't work at it, like, I might not quite make it to the cut line. You know, I might get cut out. Not what I'm talking about here. But it's very clear in Scripture here. It's saying, let's read it again. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up. That we may grow up together in our salvation. As we begin to unpack this, I feel like I hope you're in agreement with this thought. From the day you got saved, you were a baby on milk. And as you've grown up, as we, again, you know, your body's going this way. Don't judge the body. Your body's going that way. But your spiritual, your soul, and your spirit are growing towards an eternal destination, not growing towards God, like, oh, again, look, if we don't do enough, we won't make it. Not that at all. Don't hear that in my voice. But as we grow and mature together, we should become more adult-like, more patience, more love for each other, more endurance, all these kind of things. So let me kind of wrap this up. I want to have you stand here in just a moment. I want to read a piece of scripture over you in just a moment. We're going to stand together. I just wanted to let it just help us to grow up. I want it to just hit our hearts so we won't be distracted. We've been sitting for a long time, so I'll get you to stand up in just a moment. But I want to kind of recap. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. You can go there if you want. When we're standing together, you can open it if you want. You can just close your eyes if you want when I do it. But the reason Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, so he's in prison in Rome, and he's writing to a church that, you know, he's been a part of. And often Paul's letters are there to correct or to bring discipline or direction. But this letter is about bringing encouragement. So Paul challenges the believers to function as a body because, again, he didn't give us every spiritual gift, so we can't be self-sufficient. We've got to work together. So, again, he called us to be one body. And so just recapping chapters 1 and 2, we're going to go into just a second. Paul starts with a nice, warm, fuzzy greeting. We should do that. He then affirms the nature of the church, why the church is there. He talks about the glorious fact that believers in Jesus have been showered, we're going to read that, in God's kindness, chosen for greatness, marked with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit's power, freed from sin's curse and bondage, all that darkness and evil, and brought close to God. Even though we were broken sinners going away from the Lord, God in his mercy and his kindness, we're going to read that in just a moment, just showered his blessing upon it. I just heard it put this way recently, is that we all are broken and sinners and full of transgression and darkness. And God in his great mercy looked at that and looked at us and said, I want to shower my blessings upon them so that they would turn from their ways. That's the kind of God that we serve. God doesn't look at all your brokenness and go, you got to get away. God goes, what can I do to help? Let me lean in. And so we're going to read that right now. So I want to encourage you, whatever you feel comfortable doing, we're going to worship after this in just a moment. But please at least stand if you're able to. If you want to come to the altar and kneel, that's cool. If you want to hold up your hands, that's great. If you want to hold your hands open, whatever you feel like doing. I just want to deposit into us scripture. One day the Lord will let me just read scripture. I'm just going to read for 30 minutes, just scripture. It will minister deep to your soul. So we've already heard a lot of scripture this morning, so let's keep going there. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And I just want to pause there for a second. Father, in Jesus' name, we could so easily recognize all of our sins and our shortcomings. It feels like our mind reminds us of how broken we are. But thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love for us. Verse 2, in which you used to live. We used to be those ways. When we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts like the rest we were by nature objects of wrath. But because, in verse 4, of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins and transgressions. It was by his grace that we've been saved, nothing to do with our own. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Praise God, man. In order that in the coming ages we might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us by Christ Jesus. For it's by grace, again, you've been saved through faith. It's not a work of yourself. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a plan. God has a purpose for each person here this morning. Moving down to verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You've been adopted in, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We're so grateful for 90 years of history in this church, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation, again, of the apostles. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As we join together, God's Spirit comes and sets up camp in our church. Praise God, eh? Let me just pray for you now. The worship team is going to come. We're going to close this off. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for reminding us of how merciful and how loving and how kind and gracious you are as a heavenly Father. Father, in our brokenness, maybe even this morning, some of us have come in here absolutely broken, absolutely far from you. And what do you think of them? You think about them in love and kindness, and you want to be close to them. So thank you for being that kind of God. Father, we want to drink well this morning as we look at your word. We want to be filled with your Spirit this morning. Help us to be in a receiving attitude, in a receiving posture this morning as we sing this last closing song together. Thank you so much, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.